The scripture lesson this morning is taken from Colossians chapter 2, reading from 6 to 7. I am reading from the King James Version. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein, with thanksgiving. Thanks be to God for the reading of his holy words. Amen.
Good morning. Happy long weekend. So great to see so many of you here today. Today we begin a new sermon series. It's entitled Growing Together, Building a Church for the Kingdom. The inspiration for this series is twofold. One, if you're new to Weston Park Baptist Church, you might have heard about this redevelopment thing that we're doing. And we're growing, and our building is changing. And it's really, really cool. It's been in the work for a while. The second is I had a professor during my time in seminary who would always ask us the same question. When you are in a church, and you're in a position of leadership that God trusted you to be in, if Jesus were to come and sit in your pew, in your church building on a Sunday morning, would he be proud of what you're doing? Our professor was asking us if our church would be rooted in prayer, if it would reflect the love that he did, if it would be rooted in the word of the gospel, or if it would be a show. I like to think our church family here, that Jesus would be really proud to come here on a Sunday morning and he'd feel a lot of love. But I think it's important that we acknowledge, and you're going to hear this phrase a lot from me today, before we can grow wide with a new building, with new numbers, with new excitement, we have to grow deep. I want to say that one more time if you're taking notes. Before we grow wide, we have to grow deep. And we're going to talk about today what the foundation of growth is. I just want to revisit the passage. Sister Norma, I was so impressed that you could read the King James Version. I don't think I can do that. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I view the Bible as the foundation of my life. And I view it as my help manual as I go through various struggles that come with living in this upside down world that we all do. Now, I have a really funny story about this. When I was 12, because I was 12 and I was 5'8" when I was 12, I had the idea that I don't want to play non-contact sports. I want to play rugby. I didn't know anything about rugby. So my dad bought me Rugby for Dummies. If you're familiar with the For Dummies series, it basically explains a concept in the most simple terms so that you can understand it. This book was my Bible for rugby. When I had a question, I went to the book. When I didn't know what to do, I went to the book. When there were rules that didn't make sense, I went to the book. I actually got pretty good at rugby. You all are going to go through things in your life. I want to ask you to reflect, how often are you going to go to the book? When you feel sad, when you feel lost, when you're grieving, when you feel like there's not enough money to go around, there's not enough food to go around, when you feel like you don't have anyone to talk to, how often are you opening up the 66 books that were given to us by Jesus? Are you willing to open the book? That's what Paul is telling the church to do. He's asking the believers to open the book. So let's break down verse by verse. First thing Paul says is walk. Now walk is intentional. It implies rhythm, it implies direction, and it implies obedience. When you're walking, you're going towards a destination. And what I love about our God is you don't have to walk alone. He walks with you. Now, walking's going to look different for each and every one of us. Some of us might feel God's presence more when we're reading our scripture. Some of us might feel God's presence more when we're listening to worship songs. Some of us might feel God's presence more when we're in times of fellowship. We're around our fellow believers, and we get to just talk and hang out. Some of us might feel God's presence here on a Sunday. I hope you all do, actually. But how you feel connected to God is going to be unique to you. Think of it like a relationship. We all have friends, but we know that some friends you can call, some friends you can never call. You have to text them. Some friends you see once every little while. Some friends you talk to every day. I want to ask you and urge you, make Jesus the friend you're talking to every day. Next, Paul says that we should be rooted in him. See, this verb is in the perfect tense. It's referring to our salvation moment. See, the second you accept Jesus into your heart, you're saved. You are no longer yours, you are his. And rooting doesn't happen every time. Rooting is a one-time event. I share this with you because if you've been grocery shopping lately, vegetables have gotten so expensive. It's crazy. My mom, being the strong, independent woman that she is, has decided that we are going to grow our vegetables. So she planted these plants on our front yard. And it's a Toronto-sized front yard, so imagine like 6 feet by like 5 feet. And she has these, all the plants she laid down, she put them down with little chopsticks because they didn't have any roots. They needed support. As they grew bigger and as the roots went deeper, the chopsticks got taken away. And now, my understanding is that we have some tomatoes ripening. I'm told that one day I might be able to put one on a burger. You see, as the roots go deep, you get stronger. But you don't have to be planted each time. See, what I love about what I learned about planting, because I'm by no means a gardener. Some people have a green thumb. I don't know what color it is if you just kill the plants all the time. But I imagine the chopstick representing people in your life who support you. And you might need them for a season. They might be there for longer. But what I learned from this metaphor when I was writing this out, thinking about my mom planting these plants, is that God gives us the support we need so that we can establish strong roots. The thing is, when the plants were really little, she watered them every day and cared for them. Now the plants are kind of on their own. They get rainwater, they're established. Church family, for those of you who have been rooted, it's your job to seek God out. It's your job to open up your Bible. It's your job to listen to sermons. It's your job to worship and to pray. It is on you to have that relationship. I promise, if you put in the effort, God will never let you down. But you have to take the step. Next, Paul switches it up. He changes the whole image from agriculture to architecture. God is building something in you. God is building a life that reflects Christ. God is building in you a heart that reflects his character. I think I've shared this before. My favorite worship song, we always sang it at my home church. It always ended with, "They will know that we are Christians by our love." So, when you are rooted, you will grow and you will produce fruit. People should be able to tell, do you have a relationship with Jesus because of the fruit that you produce? I want to say that they should know you're a Christian by the way you live your life. They should know that you're a Christian by the way that you love. Because the way we love, it does not make sense in this upside down broken world. We love unconditionally. We love people the way Jesus loves us. We show them that they matter. We tell them and we show them that it doesn't matter their education level, their job, their socioeconomic status, how many parents they have, what their situation is. God is love. Jesus is love. And if you are rooted in Christ, you will reflect that love. Amen? Ooh, church family, I'm excited. Because this next one, established in faith. I think we live in a world now that says, find your lane. Find your vibe. Find something that represents you. But it doesn't say, Paul doesn't say to the church, in your faith. It doesn't say in Carrie's faith, in Darlene's faith, in Noah's faith, in Roy's faith. It says in the faith. Church family, this is a powerful, small change to the way a lot of people quote this scripture. Because your faith is broken. The faith, the same faith that Peter had to preach, the same faith that Paul had when he was writing, the same faith that Mary had when she stood at the foot of the cross, is the same faith that each and every one of you have. That faith has been passed down. The reason I say this is not to be mean. You cannot make your faith fit the culture. You cannot pick certain sections of Scripture and misrepresent them. You cannot be rooted in Christ and rooted in money. You cannot be rooted in Christ and rooted in your career. You cannot be rooted in Christ and rooted in whatever you are struggling with that tempts you to not be rooted in Him. You're rooted in Christ. That's the foundation of your life. Everything you do will reflect Jesus and Jesus' work in you. And if all that happens, we will be abounding in thanksgiving. The Greek term here is overflowing with gratitude, and it is the only active verse. Everything else was past tense, rooted, built. This is the only present tense term. And it's what comes when the other three are in place. A heart rooted in Christ, growing in His Word, praying actively, will show the truth in your works and will produce thanksgiving. Let's talk about if the roots are not there. There's a story in Mark chapter 9. Jesus has just come down after the transfiguration, and He finds His disciples arguing with a crowd. The disciples had been sent out to go and cast out demons. And they did a really, really great job. Until they encountered one demon. And they couldn't cast him out. The father tells a story that his son would be foaming at the mouth and shaking, and he'd been like that since birth. Later in the evening, the father goes and he finds Jesus, and he says to Jesus, "Your disciples could not cure my son." Imagine being a disciple in that moment. Probably embarrassed. You're probably hurt. See, the thing is, the disciples knew what they were supposed to do. They'd cast out demons before. It wasn't about the mechanics. It was about lack of prayer. You see, after Jesus heals the little boy and he's okay, the disciples go to him and say, "Lord, why couldn't we do it?" And he says, "Because you weren't praying and fasting enough." In other words, their lives were not dependent on God. Are you praying and fasting enough? I want to ask you, take a look at your own life. When there's times you should be fasting, when there's times you should be praying, are you watching Netflix? Are you scrolling through TikTok? Are you sending reels to your friends? I believe the reason Jesus always departed from the disciples to go out and pray was because of moments like this. Because when there was a demon that no one else could deal with, Jesus was ready because he prepared. I've heard a lot of you, church family, talk about how excited we are. Our numbers are growing. We're going to have this new building. Are you preparing for the people that are going to come in? Are you preparing for the people that are going to come into your church family that have trauma, that have real world pain and real world hurt? The people who have never known what love is. Are you preparing to welcome them? Are you preparing to disciple them? Are you preparing to show them love? Because if we are not rooted, when something too hard comes, we won't be ready. And that person might never come back to a church. And the thing is, you might be thinking, "Well, Pastor Tom, Pastor Allen, the deacons, you guys know the Bible really well." It is up to you. People don't come to church for good preaching. They don't come to church for good music. They come to church because of the way that they feel. It could be the greeter. It could be the person who sits beside you, and this is their first time ever in church. And if you are prepared, you can welcome them fully. I don't know what God's going to do in your life. I don't know who he's going to put there. But I promise you that someone is going to need you. Because if you are a sincere follower of Jesus Christ, you are called to make disciples of all nations. And church family, we need everyone we can get. How do we build a church that stands up? If we want to build a church for the kingdom, we first have to become believers rooted in prayer and scripture. I have a story from my high school days. Many of you know I played football and rugby very well. Basketball, not as well. But I made the team. They always ask me, like, "What position do you play?" And there's point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center. I would always say I played left bench. Because I never got in the game. And when I did get in the game, it's because we were already really winning or really losing. But our coach used to always say, no matter what, you have to practice how you play. You have to practice like this is game 7 of the NBA Finals. A similar thing occurs when in acting. All major productions have what's called an understudy. And the understudy might never get on stage, but if something happens to the actor that they are studying under, they are expected to go out there and perform. So you might be saying to yourself, I'm not a leader right now. I'm not a pastor, I'm not a deacon. But you better be preparing like you are. You should be just as rooted in the word. You should not be hiding behind excuses, because Jesus is going to call your number. And he's going to say, get in the game. Are you going to be ready? See, a church that builds the kingdom, it's evident because every single person there shows God's love. Now, I know you might be thinking, I don't have a seminary degree, or I don't know my Bible as well. So go out and preach with the one verse you know and your testimony. Peter didn't have a degree. Paul didn't have a degree. Degrees do not make you evangelist. You don't even have to be an extrovert. You just have to reflect the love of God. Can you do that? Can you prepare like you're going to be in the game? Church family, Pastor Allen's away. We might need some of y'all to get in on a Sunday morning if something happens to me. I hope you're ready. Oh, that didn't get as many laughs. I just got met with looks of absolute fear. The thing is, I have that same fear. Every time I step in the pulpit, every time I lead a Bible study, every time I've conducted a wedding or a funeral, I have so much fear because I know that Tom is going to not be ready. But I know if I prepare as much as Tom can possibly prepare, God's going to deliver me. He's going to make sure that I'm good. So this is the invitation. It's August 4th today, August 4th, 2025. I'm not asking you to do more. I'm not asking you to appear busier. I'm asking you to sink your roots in the one who never fails. I'm not asking you to volunteer and lead. I'm asking you to privately renew your relationship with Christ. I'm asking you to be rooted in his word. Because I know if you start being rooted in his word, he's going to convict you to do stuff that you've never done before. He is going to inspire you. And before you know it, we're going to be growing wide because we grew deep. Some easy ways that I believe we can grow deep roots. Number one is get off your phone. This used to be something my mama would yell at me, and now she's on the phone more than I am. Put your phone in another room and let God's voice be the first thing that you hear. When you wake up, pray. Lord, thank you for another day. Reach for your Bible. And some of you are going to say your Bible's on your phone. If you switch apps, I won't know. He'll know. I want to share something with you. The passage I pray often that I've rooted my ministry life in is Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 12. It says, the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Anyone know who the saints are? Anyone? You. All right, let's do this one more time. Anyone know who the saints are? Say, I'm a saint. One more time, with conviction. I'm a saint.
I'm a saint.
So whose job is it to do the work of the ministry? It's each and every one of yours. I have a practical story about this. 2 weeks ago, we had our youth camp. We had more than 25 kids come through our camp. And you know who led the camp? Noah and Jerrica and Lauren and Isaac and Wesley. See, I think it's really special that they led the camp. Because it wasn't me, but you know who it was? It was two people that I watched and I baptized when they were youth, now discipling and leading other people to the gospel. It was watching people who didn't have formal educations, but people who were rooted in the gospel and are now producing fruit. The thing is, they all have different levels of their theological depth. They all have different skills. They all have different values. They all have different lived experiences. But God used each and every one of them where they were. So when you tell me, Pastor Tom, I want to do more, but I'm not ready. None of us are ready. Do you think Peter was ready? But it was faith that allowed him to step out of that boat. It was faith that allowed him to preach. It was faith. So believe that God will deliver you. Can you believe it? We had 25 kids hear the gospel, and our oldest leader was 24. Isn't that God working? So if they can do that in their limited amount of time on this earth, what can our senior saints do? What about those of you who've been studying the Bible from the time you were 10 and now you're a little older? I've learned not to get personal with the ages. But what do you think God can do through you? So, church family, can we let the roots go deep? Can we be rooted in Christ? Can we be rooted in prayer? Can we be rooted in Scripture? Can we be rooted so deeply that we can't be moved? Have you ever seen a storm? What happens? The trees with the deepest roots, they don't sway. Even when the wind comes, even when the rain comes. Darcy was talking about wind and rain a lot. And when you had that picture of that really big tree, I wish I knew you were going to do that, because I would have stole it for this. The biggest, oldest, most rooted trees in a forest, they shield the smaller trees from wind. They protect them. So you are not laying down roots just for you. You are laying down roots for the people who haven't even come in the door yet. The people who do not know Jesus yet. But God is going to plant them. Are you willing to do the work to protect them? To walk with them? The same way someone walked with you. The same way Jesus did with the 12. And if you know the ministry model, Jesus was the Christ. He had 12 disciples. The 12 became the 72. And they kept multiplying. And they kept growing. That's the model we want to have. So before we build wide, we have to build deep. Before we bear fruit, we need strong roots. I believe, church family, in my heart, God has put it on each and every one of your hearts too, I hope, that if we are a church rooted in prayer, if we are a church rooted in the Word of God, our growth will be unshakable. You know, this church has been here over 100 years. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about how we can be here for another 100 and another 100. But the foundation is always going to be the same. It's going to be laying down deep roots, being entirely focused on praying for the sick, praying for the needy, caring for the lost. It's about that personal growth. I wanted to say more, but this is only week one. We have four more weeks to get through. So let's lay a foundation this week. I want to challenge you. If you don't have one, find one verse to anchor your heart to this week. And if you see someone new, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's at a coffee shop. Represent Jesus to them. And church family, if we all take that approach, and we are a church rooted in the Word, Satan cannot come near us, because we will totally be protected. And church family, I'm challenging myself too. I want to go deeper. So I'm asking you, will you do it with me? Yes? One more time, yeah?
Yes.
Amen. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come here, Lord. We thank you for the roots that you've already laid in so many of us. Father, thank you for the freedom to open our Bibles, the freedom to study, the freedom to grow. I pray that you can lay a foundation within each and every one of our hearts. Allow us to grow deeper. Allow us to build. God, I pray that each and every one of these amazing people are able to reflect your light and your love. And whatever convictions you put on their heart, Lord, I pray that they know they're not alone. We have people who will pray for them, who will walk with them, who will care for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come here freely. We thank you for the opportunity to lift your name on high. And thank you for the work you've done for the last 100 years. And thank you for the work for the next 100 years. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.